Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 111, 112, and 113. Psalm 111, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. O praise ye servants. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We have grouped Psalms 111, 12, and 13 together because they are a triple praise. They each begin with praise ye the Lord, and Psalm 113 ends with praise ye the Lord. So it seems that these are to be taken together as we understand them. So there is this corporate hallelujah that belongs to the people of God in their praises, and that is especially made noticeable here in 1:11, 12, and 13, in the beginning of each psalm and at the end of Psalm 113. So praise is not just an individual thing. It is to be undertaken in the plural as well. And note that it is in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. And so we have the duty of God's people when they gather to praise the Lord, especially in the ordinances of the public worship. But this would also include those times when we gather socially with one another. Certainly, it would be appropriate for the people of God privately gathered together in families or in groups or at other times of social interaction to sing praises to God. That would always be acceptable to Him. Praise is to be undertaken wholeheartedly as well. We have several instances in these three psalms where the heart is mentioned, and so we are to praise the Lord with our whole hearts. That is, that we are to come with, you know, what is the command that pertains to that, right? Wholehearted praise. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. The implications to that are that there is preparation that takes place. There is a setting of in order, the setting of an order, or setting in order of all our affairs, so that we might attend upon the Lord with less distraction. The larger catechism, speaking of the preparation for the Sabbath day, speaks of that, and I think very, very clearly. As a matter of fact, in the day Christ walked the earth, during the days of the first century and a few centuries before that, there was a day that was called the Day of Preparation. They had a preparation day. They were preparing themselves to come before the Lord on His holy day. Those things are ought not to be lost on us as those who have an appreciation for the continuing blessing of the fourth commandment. And then praise also includes a blessing of obedience, right? There is a blessing that rides on top of obedience, and so we ought to think then of the commandments of God as those rejoicing things that they are, and that there is a blessing attached to obedience, and not that we would become mercenaries, but that obedience is itself a blessing. Now, all of these things are really mentioned in one way or another in all three of these psalms. Secondly, the Lord is praised on behalf of or because of His commandments. His commandments are good and honorable, and so they become for which we praise the Lord. We actually praise the Lord for His commandments. The Lord is praised also for His condescension in this triad of psalms. The Lord condescends to His people. Those who sit in the dunghill are lifted up on high. The barren woman is made to keep house and to give, to be a joyful mother of children. In other words, the Lord has condescended to the needs of the neediest. And then He has blessed them and lifted them up and raised them up on high. We might even say that this psalm or this triad of psalms forms a basis for some things that we hear come out of the mouth of Hannah and out of the mouth of Mary when they give their praises to the Lord at various times in the history of redemption. Fourth, the Lord is to be praised for His works. His works are to be remembered and not forgotten. They are to be sought out. And so it is good and right to rehearse them in our own minds and one to another. Lord willing, in our study of meditation this afternoon, we'll take a look at that. The power of His works also is to be praised. That God is a creator, He is a savior, and He's sovereign in His providence. The Lord is to be praised for that. His covenant and His keeping of His covenant is another one of His works to be remembered and for which He is to be praised. Then also, He is to be praised for He is fearful, dread, reverent, He is to be revered, in other words. He is reverend. And so this speaks of the manner of our praise. It is to be brought gravely, soberly, humbly, and yet with an amount of joy that is commensurate with the privilege of prayer. One of the things that the session has been talking about with the families as we go to visit is our own practice as a congregation. Is it reverent? And how we think about that. Do we think about who it is that we are coming to worship? And are our actions and attitudes commensurate with who God is? Now, it is true that in some sense, they will never be commensurate with who God is. He is great beyond our imagining. And yet, there is also a direction, a movement toward that reverence that belongs to every one of us. And so we want to minimize those times of necessity when we would have to, you know, leave the service or be out of order of the regular orders that all of us come together to undertake. So it is important then that we think of God reverently, that He is a God to be feared. Remember that man in Isaiah chapter 66, the Lord says, "This is the one I look to, the one who trembles at my word," right? Trembles at my word. Okay, and then the Lord's praise is to be heard over the whole earth because He is a great King, and His fame then should be spread abroad, east and to west, from east to west, over the unbelievers, over the Gentile lands. And so this psalm turns to be prophetic at that point, speaking of the day when the Lord's praises will be heard over all the world. He is to be praised also for His justice, in that He lifts up the upright and He casts out the wicked. The wicked gnash their teeth at Him, but He, undeterred, executes a righteous judgment. And then He is to be praised also for His provision, not only for the body, but food also for the soul. The Lord is a provider to all those who call upon His name. All of these things, and while they may not be in each of the three psalms, they all appear in their various psalms respectively. Then we see also how the people of God are blessed in the Lord. The first blessing is that they are blessed in the way of obedience. They seek out the Lord's works that they might admire Him. They remember His works. They remember the way of obedience. They exercise generosity, care, and discretion. That guides the righteous man. And he does not fear, but he trusts in the Lord. And then finally, these three psalms teach us about the blessing of those who praise the Lord and who call upon His name and those who obey Him. He has given meat to them that fear Him, and He remembers His covenant. He provides then in this world and in the next. That's the point being made there. He gives His people the heritage of the heathen. That is, the honors and expectation of the great men of the earth belong rather to the people of God. The Lord shall have a mighty seed upon the earth. His people shall have a heritage, a deposit in their children as they carry the faith generation to generation. Wealth and riches are in His house. Spiritual abundance are in the house of the righteous man. He shall have light in the darkness. So knowledge and understanding and wisdom belong to those who know and practice what Scripture teaches. He raises up the poor and needy, sets him with princes, and He exalts the humble, and He hears their cries. And then finally, as we saw earlier, He lifts up even the barren woman. And remember that in that day, to be a barren woman was to be dishonored. But He raises her up and makes her a joyful mother of children and gives her a household. All right, so Psalms 111, 112, and 113, a triple praise unto the Lord. Let's stand and call upon His name.